Hello. Okay, I want you to talk back to me so it makes me feel more secure. Okay, so basically, it's showing the secrets ahead of time. Quick, stop. Okay, so this morning I'm going to try my hardest to speak for a short amount of time. Now you all know this is a challenge for me, but I'm going to try. And basically, I'm just going to talk very briefly for about 15 to 20 minutes about vision, which some of you might think that's not short enough, but it's short. So, and then we're going to have a chance to share together and pray into where God is taking us as a church community for the long haul, but also particularly for 2015. So are you up for that? Great. And I just want to encourage you, you know, if there's things that you feel you'd like to share that either you feel God saying or observations you have, then please be prepared to share them. Yeah? Great. So who's seen the film A Wonderful Life? Some people? Who's heard of it? Yeah. For those of you who don't know what the story is about, it's a traditionally Christmas film. Although, as Laura pointed out last, I think it was last week or the week before we were having a conversation about it, it's actually quite a depressing film in a kind of a way, considering it's a Christmassy movie. But basically, there's this guy called George Bailey. Let me just check that is his name. Yes, it is. And basically, it's Christmas Eve, and some terrible circumstances have happened to him, and he basically decides to go to the river and end it all. And that's a nice, cheery, Christmassy movie, isn't it? But then, at the point when he's about to do this, Clarence, his guardian angel, turns up and basically shows him what the town that he lived in and people in his family and his friends, what their lives would be like if he never lived. And basically, he realizes through it all that although he's not done anything absolutely crazy spectacular, you know, he hasn't discovered a cure for an incurable disease. He hasn't made millions and given it away. But the simple things that he's done day by day, just by choosing to live his life in a sacrificial way, have actually had a massive impact on the people around him that he never realized he was having. And, you know, that's the same for us. You may not feel like you're living your life doing anything world-changing. I mean, maybe some of us do. But, you know, something that's as spectacular as finding a cure for AIDS or, I don't know what, solving worldwide poverty. I don't know, I've just gone for these cliche things. But the simple ways that we choose to lead our lives have an impact. Obviously, that can happen for good or not, but we can choose to live our life in good ways that have an impact on the people around us. And, you know, sometimes I just think that we just need to decide things about the way that we're going to live, what our values are, and just get on and do it day by day, day by day, wherever we find ourselves. You know, whether we're at uni or at work with our friends and family, wherever we are, living in those ways. And as we choose to, fruit will come out of it. And, you know, for us, those of us who are followers of Jesus, you know, Jesus is our inspiration, and it's his ways and his teachings that we're looking to know and to live out wherever we find ourselves. Because Jesus was attractive, you know, he was also challenging. But when people were in his presence, they felt loved and valued. And we can be that to the people around us. So So as a church community, you know, we've got some simple things that we've already decided together that we're going to live out. So we've got our vision statement. Should we all say it together? Cheesy as it is. You ready? Engaging with God, sharing his goodness. Why is it funny? Yeah, Tom's vision statement got vetoed. It didn't pass the vote. Does anyone remember what it was? Yeah, that was it. Engaging heaven, embracing earth. This one won. So, you know, as a community of people, this is what we're looking to do, whether we're together or individuals, is we want to engage with God. We want to grow in friendship with him. We want to know him. We want to know his ways. And as we do that, when we're with our friends, our family, when we're at uni or at work, we want to share his goodness by the way that we are, the way we act, the words that we speak. When people share things with us, you know, maybe offering to pray and believing that God is going to step in and do something, because that's the kind of God that he is. And if we all stick to this simple thing, good things are going to happen. Does anyone agree? It's simple. It's not anything crazy, but it's very profound. Now, the next thing that we've come to as a church is these things called community values. Now, they're actually strictly called rules of life, but sometimes when we hear the word rule, it kind of comes up with a different kind of thought process in our heads. And, you know, when we talk about a rule of life, we talk about a way of choosing to live rather than a rule, as in hit over the head if you don't do it. Does that make sense? So we've chosen these three things, and, you know, I just feel that they really sum up what we go for, that in everything that we do as a community together and as individuals, that we want to be seeing these three things happen. First one is pursue personal transformation. So there's a belief that all of us want to be growing. We want to be getting healed up and whole in our hearts. We want to be growing in our gifts. And we want to be seeing change happen in our personal lives. But we need to be proactive in going after that. Are you up for that? Great. The second, create loving and authentic community. You know, we're not just interested in coming just to a Sunday meeting. We want to do life together, and we want it to be loving and real, authentic, not pretending, but being real about who we are, what's going on in our lives, and what life is like. And we want to do that wherever we are, not just with people in church, but with people beyond us, if that makes sense. Third one, be a prophetic people who seek what God is doing and step out in faith to join in. You know, the Holy Spirit is at work. He's doing things everywhere, and we want to find out what he's doing and join in with him. And that adds excitement and adventure to what it means to follow him. So that is those three things. And, you know, back in June, who was at the breakfast in June over at the Hub? Yep, that was a really great time together where we just considered who we are as the journey and more around what our values are. And basically, we've collated all of that we did together. I posted it on Facebook, so you can all see all that information. And that's something for us to build on, to really put together our values. We want to come up with 5 or 6 values that kind of just sum up the culture of what we are as a church community. So talking about the why of what we do. You can go. So very, very quickly, I just want to do a very short history from my perspective of the journey. A few key things. So obviously when we started in 2004, myself, Tom and Phil and Tracy Simcock had a dream in our hearts of wanting to do church in a way that was real, authentic. You know, we thought Jesus is attractive and relevant to people's lives. He's chosen that the church is the thing that expresses who he is on the earth. But so often the way that church is creates barriers to people experiencing that. And so we had a dream, Royal Holloway students would be able to engage with God through the church in a way that was relevant. So a key thing that we wanted to do was build community in order for that to happen. So we all moved into a house together and started to do that. And then that was great. We had lots of fun and parties together. Some of you were there in these early times. And in 2008, after we've been going for 4 years, Tom and Charlotte Pinion both felt, like, independently of each other, that God was speaking to us through the story in the Gospel of John, where basically the disciples had been fishing all night and they hadn't caught any fish. And Jesus said to them, put your nets on the other side. And they're like, what? You know, we've been fishing all night, haven't caught anything. How is that going to make a difference? And so they do that and they catch crazy amounts of fish, so much that they have to call in other boats to help them. And at the time when Tom and Charlotte were thinking about that, we were wondering about doing stuff on the Forest Estate. Shortly after, Jonathan had a dream, and in the dream, everyone in the journey was camped out by this mountain, and it was the mountain of the Lord. And we went up to the mountain, we had a meeting, and the presence of God was there. Some people were getting healed physically, but there was a frustration in us of wanting more of God. And in the dream, Jonathan saw this beacon lighting up from one of the other hills. And as he does in his dreams, he flew over to check it out. And when he got there, he saw this whole crowd of people with pushchairs, and this man who was kind of like working with them with a couple of other helpers. And they were like asking us, come and help me. We need you to send your two best healers. That was one of the things that was in the dream, over to help. And that, you know, there's more to it than that, but I'll just say that for now. And, you know, that really felt like when we were wondering about whether or not God wanted us to do stuff on the Forest Estate, that with those different words that Tom and Charlotte had and the dream that Jonathan had had, which as soon as he woke up, he really felt was from God, kind of led us to start Life Worth Living, which was a monthly ministry in the middle of the estate, offering free refreshments, prayer for people. And we used to pray on a Friday night and a Saturday morning. And we'd be like, God, we want to be a blessing to this estate. We really want to really know the people who live here. And we don't want to just tell them about you, but we want to be involved in their lives. We want to be a blessing to their whole lives. You know, that the gospel is for fullness of life, in practical ways, not just salvation as such. So we would pray all these prayers. And the interesting thing that happened through Life Worth Living, which wasn't what we as a team expected, was that the people we really built relationship with were the children living on the estate. And as that went on, we came to the point where Lou Ashford, who was the manager here at the Village Centre, felt like God was saying something about the British Legion building. And I think we all know the story, but just say, long story short, we ended up getting in conversations with the council. And we as a church found ourselves leading a multi-agency group to set up a community centre in the British Legion building, which at the time was completely falling apart with water coming through the roof and electrics hanging and wonderful things like that. And so we started that 2 years ago. And in that time, we've had a lot of challenges, but we've seen God do good things. We have wonderful relationships with the children and teenagers on the estate. And we've got about 40 of them as members on our books. And one of the interesting things that's happened as we have done the hub, or run the hub, is that not only have we engaged with people on the Forest Estate and all that's coming out of that, but we've also engaged massively with students from Royal Holloway, in the fact that we are working with Royal Holloway Community Action. So regularly every week we engage with students that are not necessarily call themselves Christians, but at Royal Holloway. So you see these different things coming together as God takes us on this journey. Does that make sense? Okay. So just a couple more minutes to draw things together. So one of the things, as many of you know, earlier in the year, I felt, and I might be wrong, so, you know, just say that, but I felt that when I was having a time out praying, that the Holy Spirit was impressing it on my heart for us to meet on a Sunday in the hub. Now, we know that this building is a significant place, and I'm not saying that we should therefore not do stuff here as well, but this was just an impression that I was getting. And, you know, I've been around the small groups, I've spoken to you all about it, and we've discussed the pros and cons of that. And I think, you know, generally, no one is completely against the idea, but obviously there are pros and cons for both. So one of the things that I want to put to you guys is that in 2015, in January and February, to invite you to join me, or not, you know what I mean, in an experiment where we will go and meet in the hub and see what it's like, how it goes, and then review what we want to do in terms of our Sunday meetings. So practically what that will mean is the first Sunday back in January is our first community lunch. We're going to meet here. The next week is River Together. But then the week after that, which is the 17th of January, or is it the 18th? 18th of January. Thanks, Diana. Oh, yes, you know, the day after your wedding. So the day after Luke and Diana's wedding, there will be new beginnings. And we shall meet in the hub. And we will do that. Obviously, the week after is our weekend away. And so then through February, we'll meet in the hub. So that's a practical thing that we're going to do in 2015. And, you know, we have an opportunity to really make that building how we want it to be, a really welcoming environment that's a good place for the local community to want to be in. So hopefully people feel okay about that idea, but we can talk about it more. But the last thing that I want to say really is that, you know, the journey... Us currently, part of the journey, there's about 40 of us who are part of this community. And, you know, really the thing that holds us together isn't whether or not we reach out to students or reach out to the Forest Estate. We reach out to those places because this is the place where we are in Enkerfield Green. And they're the people around us, and God calls us to be a blessing to the people around us. But the thing that holds us together is... You know, obviously it's Jesus, but it's the vision and the values and the things that we hold important as a community and that we outwork in our lives wherever we find ourselves. So we might do stuff on the Forest Estate and at Royal Holloway when we're together, but the rest of the time, you know, we might be at work or wherever we are, and we want to be being the good news in those places. Does that make sense? So I want to encourage you to keep on getting involved in people's lives, wherever you find yourselves, and being, engaging with God, sharing his goodness in this place. You know, doing, do you want to flip to the next one? You know, living out these community values or rules of life, whatever we want to call them. But as we do that, it's going to be messy. And I just want to go to the next thing. You know, this verse has been a really important verse in my life of leading church. You know, where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much revenue comes. But much revenue comes by the strength of the ox. You know, basically, just to explain that proverb, it's not clear what it means. You know, oxen are male cattle. And, you know, when they're... in the place where they're eating their food out of the manger, it's obviously, it gets really, really messy. But the good thing is that these cattle, because of who they are, they end up causing there to be a great harvest, which brings in a great income. That's what that proverb is getting at. You know, where there is life and God is doing stuff, like when the oxen are producing life, there's mess. Okay? Being part of God's purposes is messy. And God calls us to join with him in clearing up the mess while life happens. Does that make sense? And You know, as somebody who's a naturally tidy person, I have to remind myself of this all the time because I want everything to be tidy and sorted and all nice and boxed in. But it doesn't work like that. It's really, really messy dealing with people's lives. And so as we go into 2015, I want to encourage you as individuals and us as a church community to join in with what God's doing, get involved in the mess. But as John reminded us last night, for those of us on Facebook, be who we are called to be within it. Express your gifts in it. Be true to yourself. You know, this picture that John put, maybe the journey isn't so much about becoming anything. Maybe it's about unbecoming everything that isn't really you, so you can be who you were meant to be in the first place. God is calling each of us to get involved in clearing up messes in different places. You know, I just want to pick on Matt Gale, as I promised him I would. You know, Matt has got a dream to build a computer game. And I don't play computer games, but I don't know very much about them. But what I do know is sometimes they can be not such good places. You know, places which teach people that violence is fulfilling. You know, I'm sure that there are good things about them as well. But Matt has got a dream to build a computer game that sends more positive experiences and messages out. And, you know, that's an area where Matt can get involved with what the Holy Spirit is doing in the world of computer games, clear up some mess that's currently being created and do something good. I could go around all of us and say it, but hopefully I've already spoken for too long than I said I would. Sorry. You can apply that to your own lives. So the message I want to give to all of us is, do you want to clean up some mess together? Maybe it doesn't sound that attractive. Because I think this is the way it is. Let's not dump it down that it's all like, woo! Because it's not. It's messy, but it's worth it. So I'm going to hand over to Tom.
All right. So this is really an opportunity for other people to come and share off the back of what Vicky's said, and specifically relating to this whole thing of vision and what we feel kind of God is saying. So if I could just ask people to try and be as succinct as possible in what they share, that would be really, really, really good. So that will give an opportunity for more people to say things. And then we're going to just come together and pray.
As Vicky mentioned me, I might as well share as well. So my vision is more for building some kind of experience of that shows off the kind of our values, and something that when you play through it, when you experience it, you're putting in the emotions or kind of going through those emotions that I kind of want to put into it, and everyone have a positive outlook on it. So it's kind of still very vague, but it's something that I don't want to do on my own. I want to sort of involve other people. I want people just to be creative and come up with ideas. And if that interests you, can come speak to me and we'll work together. But I'm not looking for people who have got skills in any particular area. I'm looking for anybody who just wants to input. So yes, that's my vision.
John.
This is just a little story as well that fits in. So a set of circumstances, I found myself walking to church this morning, and occasionally when I do that, I just think, Lord, you know, why don't you try and speak to me? I'll be open as I can. And as I was walking, I was thinking about the word encounter came. And I don't know what you're like, but sometimes when I set off to go somewhere, depending on the mood I'm in, I'm thinking, oh, I hope I don't see anybody I know, or I really want to see somebody. And I probably fell into the category, I hope I don't see anybody I know. And it was in relation to some of the children we were with in the zone. And I'm being dead honest because, you know, I love them, but some of them hate me for a variety of reasons, you know. So, but as it was going on, walking towards the hub, all of a sudden I saw this running out into the street and running towards me. And I heard a voice say, Harvey, come back here. And I'm thinking, I'm making a beeline for me. So I'm, quote Blackadder, said, the Almighty is very quick in answering his prayers these days. So I'm going to get an encounter whether I want one or not. And as he ran towards me, suddenly he stopped and he'd done a little wee. Now, It's not a person now. You probably figured out it was a dog. And this big bulldog come running. This big bulldog come booing towards me. Now, the thing behind that is, as a postman in another life, I've been bitten more times than is normal and is healthy. And I do not like dogs. So when I asked for an encounter, the last thing I expected was a dog running towards me and at pace. And not, I couldn't discern whether he was happy to see me or whether he wanted to bite me. But I saw the owner and I said, is he all right? He said, yeah, he's all right. So I started stroking him. The whole point of that is that if you ask for an encounter with the Lord, you don't always get what you want. And for me, 2015 is going to be about saying, Lord, I want encounters. And it might not always be what I want, but if you put me there, I'm going to do my best to meet that need, to be part of that mess. And it will be tough and it will stretch me. And I know that even that part of that is working with the kids in the zone, that somehow me and God, and particularly more me than God, are going to find a way of reaching into their mess and really getting something done. So, you know, when you ask the Lord for an encounter, don't be afraid. Let him be all over it, and you'll be surprised who and what he brings to you.
Hi, guys. I feel like God's been speaking to me this week, really. And I thought I might as well kind of share what it is, really. But I think, you know, obviously it's Thanksgiving week this week, and in our small group, I think it was just me, Andy and Gemma, we kind of were chatting about, I think we ended up kind of chatting about, because there's a lot of things we can be thankful for, but I kind of think of the Band-Aid song where Bono says, thank God it's them instead of you. And to some extent, I don't know whether that's written ironically or not. I mean, yeah, the no snow in Africa this Christmas, it kind of makes you think maybe sometimes it might not have been. But I had an experience on Friday, actually, when I was coming back from Bristol. I stopped off at someone's leaving party. And before I was just about to go, and I got into a conversation with a colleague who works in another lab. And he was just feeling very discontent about life. And, I decided just to have a quick chat. You know, what would you like? You know, how would you like the world to be different? How would you like life to be different, almost? And I think, at some point in the conversation, he said something along the lines of, he's not a Christian, but if God is there, he couldn't wait for him to kind of come back and sort everything out. Because I think he was really disheartened by, I mean, there's a lot of corruption in the world, and it's a really rubbish place, really. And I guess I was just thinking overall that actually, although we've got this hope that God's going to come back and sort everything out, and we're going to be redeemed and we'll live forever and everything, every tear will be wiped from our eye. That's not good enough at the moment, though. We've got a world which we live in which needs to change. And I feel that as a church, I guess my vision is that, we'd be a church that can make, a lot of small differences, a lot of individual choices, and we can be a community that can be a light to the world we live in and make a difference in our community, really. Sorry, I'm a bit vague, but I think it'd be really good, if we could be able to kind of discuss things which, I don't know, maybe on a small level make a difference on a global level, maybe even political issues or things. Sorry, this is kind of my opinion and not the official line of the journey, I should point. But that's kind of just something which I was spoken. I feel as though God spoke to me, really. But.
Hi. A long time ago, in the very early 70s, there was a magazine called Honey Magazine, and it was like the Grazia of today. And they did an article called, Is the Church Keeping God Off the Streets? And I have actually kept this article all these years. I was a very vocal atheist at the time, and I used it in a sixth form assembly. And the main thing about it is that because the church is so judgmental and talks about hell and talks about all this stuff that, people don't want to know anything about it. And I was talking to a chap here a few weeks ago, the guy that came from the village over there somewhere, the eco-village. And he said, I've never wanted to have anything to do with Christianity because they're all so judgmental and all this. And I just thought, it's exactly the same thing. It's still, people unfortunately, wrongly or rightly, still have that idea. And so that's what I want, the mess I want to clear up, I suppose, is that misconception. And I think the journey's really good at that. And I think we should go for it. Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, Helen. Richard.
Well, I had a picture. I don't often have pictures of a spider's web for us. And we're the spider, but not a nasty, you know, one that bites you and things. But and it's not about the spider. We've heard about the spider, but it's about the web. And God is using the journey, us, you and our predecessors, to reach out into many, many different countries, to reach the world. And he doesn't want us to forget that. You can test this out. This is what I feel. And they're very tense, like Gem's been to Somalia, and she's sown stuff there. You've got the Pinyons out there. Others of you have gone out to Mozambique in the past. And Malawi, some of us, has been out to, and others. And they seem very tenuous things because they're over the horizon. They're not right at the center hanging out or what we're doing here. For some of us, they are. But God says these little, they seem very tenuous threads, but they are strong. They are tensile steel strong, which spiders, actually their silk is. When you test it, I'm told, I hear. And God is going to use those things. And Christian Tai, who comes here occasionally, who shared his testimony, and is amongst all the Chinese community in the Royal Holloway. I mean, a leader among there, he was telling me. So all these tenuous links, and God will use them to catch people he really longs to have in the kingdom, and he will use those threads, and he doesn't want to forget those threads. Maybe it's with the Echo Village. Thank you for to catch souls he loves.
Thank you. Denise. And then Linda. Should we get people to line up? Come and line up, because some of us have an idea of how many people are left to share. So we do want to make sure we've got time to pray.
Actually, there was a couple of things. One, I'm not sure, I might have shared this with some of you before, but a year or so ago I had a dream. And in the dream I was looking out my bedroom window, and I had a Bible in front of me, and I was praying down onto the street below. And when I looked, I saw that all these people standing outside their homes, and I got this impression that these people were not the owners of their homes. And I said to God in the dream, well, who are these people then? They're standing outside these houses. And he said, they're servants of the home. And I said, well, what do you mean they're servants of the home? So obviously there's no servants that I know of in Englefield Green. And he said, well, they're servants because they don't know they're my children. And they're standing and they're waiting. They're waiting for us to go and tell them that they're loved by God and that they're his children. And I just felt, you know, that's who we are, to share the love of God and to let people know that they belong to him. The other thing is, when we first moved into Englefield Green, I had this this desire to have a healing room in the doctor's surgery, and that sort of desire has never gone away. And I just sort of imagine us having this room where people come in to go and see the doctor because of they're ill, maybe physical illness, maybe emotional, whatever that is, that they'd pass the door of the healing room and they'd come in and be healed, and they wouldn't even get necessary for them to get to come and see the doctor. And I've not been like bold enough to go and stand outside the doctor's surgery. I mean, I have prayed when I've walked past, and you know, it may not be that it has to be in the doctor's surgery. Maybe it could be in the hub or somewhere else, but as long as it's on the estate. But the funny thing was, last week or the week before, I was actually in the hub just pottering around doing something, and this lady came in, and I've met her before. She lives on the estate. I'm not sure whether she goes to St. Jude's Church or not, but she came in and she said, oh, I'm working in partnership with Bond Street Surgery, and I'm looking to connect the needs of the community with, you know, what the doctor's surgery can provide. And immediately I remembered this like dream I had, and I'm going to meet up with her again. And I just feel it might be the beginning of God doing something. And, you know, just keeping that vision going and that desire to see something else that God can work and do. So I'll keep you posted on, you know, what may come next there. But, yeah, that's it.
This isn't a prophecy or nothing or anything what you've been talking about, but I had some news while Vicky was talking. My son has been in a psychiatric hospital for the last 10 years, but he's right down in Norfolk, which makes it really hard to see. And I've been praying and fighting for him to be moved. Well, while Vicky was talking, I got the phone call that they're going to actually move into Basingstoke, which is going to make him so closer. So that's what I wanted to share.
So I don't know if any of you know that me and Emmy Dix are on committee for Absolute Harmony. Royal Holloway's only a cappella choir. Quick plug. And recently, most of our committee is actually Christian, which I didn't realise until quite recently, and one of our other members thought it'd be a good idea to start a Christian group for our PALM members. So we had our first meeting this week, and it went really well, and one of the people who came I didn't know was Christian, so that went really well. And then we had our after party last night, which is why I look a little bit tired. And I was chatting to a couple of them about it, and they were like, well, I'm Christian. I was like, what? Like, I didn't know, and it was really nice when we were like chatting. I was like, oh, I'll add you to the group. She was like, oh yeah, definitely. And like two of them were like that. And I chatted to someone else at the concert itself, and she was like, yeah, I see myself as Christian with a small C. And I was like, okay. So she was like, I've been brought up, but I'm not really sure about it. So I really want to like pray through that and try and get her to become Christian with a large C rather than a small one. And just for our like Christian group to grow and for Christianity to like come into our palm. Hopefully a few of them are coming along to the journey, carols by candlelight. So yeah, just pray for that. Thanks.
So I heard a story recently about an old lady, and the old lady lived in a house and she had cobwebs on the ceiling, and she was too old and too frail to clean the cobwebs off her ceiling. So instead she would throw glitter at them. And I thought, well, I initially thought that's great, but then I kind of felt that there was something in that, and that there was like some kind of message to that. And just keeping in mind what Vicky was saying earlier about that verse in Proverbs about mess, and it kind of got me thinking about like pursuing personal transformation and stuff. I think a lot of us are really keen to get to a place where we have no cobwebs, where, you know, we are completely cleaned up, we're completely whole and all of that. And I'm not saying that's not a good thing, but I think sometimes, you know, we want it right now, and there's a maybe something in like maybe in the meantime we should just throw glitter at them. Like maybe it's about like there's some kind of beauty in our brokenness if we can have an openness about it, and if we can have the right attitude towards it, and if we cannot try to kind of cover it up because we feel shame about it. Instead, if we're just like, here's my brokenness, you know. And actually I think that God can use that if we just maybe change our attitudes towards it.
That's really good. Yeah, I was sharing this before the meeting, just kind of a beautiful image, I think, of something I saw kind of Robert Downey Jr. sharing, and I think he was referring to his struggle with alcoholism and all that kind of thing, and he talked about hugging the cactus, you know, and because there's cactuses in our lives, brokenness in our lives that need the love. All right, I was going to get everyone up to pray, but what I think we're going to do it slightly differently. I hope this is all right. I'm going to go with this. So go with me. I've been reading a book recently called, and sorry if you've already heard this, people who know me, I've been ranting on about this book, called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And the first habit that kind of talks about Stephen Covey, that's right, yeah. Talks about proactivity. And actually, I think this is very relevant, actually, when it kind of comes to, when we think about the kind of messes and we think about something that Luke said actually made me think of this, which is Stephen Covey talks about these two circles in our lives. And one he calls the circle of influence. Another he calls the circle of concern. And he talks about how proactive people kind of focus on the circle of influence. In that, it's the things that they can change. It's the area that they have, that they're connected to, that they can influence. It's sort of, whereas the circle of concern, it's environmental. It's stuff that's out of our control, potentially. And reactive people, you know, tend to focus on that area. You know, they'll blame the things, other circumstances for, you know, whereas proactive people, they sort of take responsibility and they just focus on that area of the circle of influence, which is a smaller area. But as you focus on that, actually, it grows. And I wanted us just to have a little bit of a reflection on what our circle of influence is. Because actually the journey is not just this thing with one vision that we're all doing the same thing. The journey is you guys. It's a bunch of people in different areas, in different parts of life, and different influences. So I just want us maybe, just in a few moments of silence, just to come before God and just ask, what are the messes you want me to get involved in? What is my circle of influence? And just allow the Holy Spirit just to bring just stuff to your attention.